We talked about, it's, I guess the base Reuven is both a reference to the author and also to a lot of these hypotheticals. They're about the house of Reuven and his neighbor Shimon and the various conflicts they have. So here, there's one that tweaks the previous scenarios, as is the general path of such scenarios. And consider the following question. You have Reuven and Shimon, they are living on a level of the ground where they have a shared garden, Gina Meshutafes. And Shimon built on the sidewalk that is next to his garden a fence of strong wood. And this is really there as a decorative enhancement. And he didn't finish building it yet, so it's not totally walled off. Meanwhile, what happened over the course of the next few months? Cat invasion. A lot of cats now, all of a sudden, in this area. And sometimes they come from the garden into the house through the windows. So what does Reuven do now? So Reuven decides he's going to fill in the fence on his side. So at this moment, before it is completed, Shimon comes and says, "Listen, dude, I want you to contribute to the cost of what I've built already." Right? Because you're also now showing you want to fence off this shared garden, because otherwise cats are coming in and taking over. So I want you to pay me for what I've done. However, Reuven claims that the geder that Shimon has been building is not on the garden itself, but rather it's on the sidewalk. And also he says that until he's actually finished it, he's not getting any benefit from this. So therefore, why should he have to pay now? What would you think? What are the key issues here? What are the conclusions you'd come to? What are the factors? What are the considerations? What are your reactions? Zach?
Well, you could say one consideration is, what do we prioritize? The fact that you just sort of michale, or, you know, do we prioritize you getting hanah from it?
Well, why do you need to prioritize one or the other? Why are you emphasizing or prioritizing?
As in, because if we prioritize Hana, then, you know, we can say, well, you actually really haven't gotten Hana from it yet. So maybe you can't really say, oh, you know, you need this to be, you need to pay for your portion of the wall. But if we are prioritizing the idea of Michale, well, then obviously, you know, even if you say like, well, I think even with that claim about the sidewalk, I feel it's still Michale at the end of the day, because it's like, it's classic, like, Michale, like, I'm adding on to the wall, like, it's, you know, I'm literally being Meshutaf with the rest of the wall, like, there's no way it's not Michale.
Well, I'm going to quibble with your language of prioritizing, if you don't mind. Because I'm not sure why we need to prioritize one thing or another. You know, the question is, if the different elements are contributing to the picture in some way, so maybe you only need one or the other, depending on what kind of circumstance you have. But the question is, what do we have operative here? And yes, you have the nichale factor, but what we saw last week was that nichale is really kind of a tool. Nichale is a factor of a number of different explanations, and it doesn't exist just by itself. You know, it's interesting because it kind of does, right? So nichale is something which, that phrase by itself, actually exists in many other different areas of halacha. Right? We know it well from Hilchos Shabbos, where it's a modifier to Psik Reisha. And it's also a concept, by the way, which is not limited to Hilchos Shabbos, just most well known from Hilchos Shabbos, but the concept of psik resha denichale, that something becomes more your problem when you like it, even if you didn't do it on purpose. We find the Chafetz Chaim actually brought that language into Hilchos Lashon Hara when he talks about situations where you are caught listening to something that you wouldn't otherwise want to hear because of Lashon Hara considerations, and he talks about your responsibility to make sure that it's not nichale. So this is a phrase which is not functioning by itself. This is a modifier in some contexts, and here it's a condition. It's helping something else work. So what we saw in our previous discussions is that there are a couple of candidates for what it is triggering. Maybe it is finishing off the picture of Nana, that Nana with Gili Das, but we saw that we don't know if it's enough to answer all questions. Right. So, if you have a situation of a nana that's also lo chaser, a zen nana v'zeh lo chaser, we saw that it was a machlokes, whether nichale changes the equation. Tosus was of the position that nichale does change it, gilui das of nichale, but that others, either implicitly, like the Nebuki Yosef, or explicitly, like the Marshal, said no such thing. Said nana v'zeh lo chaser is pater even with nichale, even with the gilui das. So it's not enough. So, for example, if all we had here was a situation of nana, but it was, let's say, zeh nana v'zeh lo chaser, might not be enough. We saw that other Rishonim raised the issue of the hana not being real yet. And we don't know if Gilui Das by itself could change that. Or at least we don't know yet. We haven't seen that yet. And we saw that another possible active factor here was the beneficiary acquiring a part of what was built. But there was a necessary condition for that also, which we may not have in this case. What was the necessary condition there? It's that the wall had to be on their shared space. So that was something that that goes back and forth. So actually, just in a little bit of reciprocity here. So Rabbi Leibowitz, a week ago or so, sent me a shiloh that he had been forwarded, and I responded back to him that this would make a great topic for a shir, and he wrote back, that's the plan. And so I wrote some thoughts back to him, and then I listened to the shir that he gave on this, and he referenced it. I wrote back to him to give a shir about it, but didn't get into the same pratim we spoke about. But the details that he did end up talking about ended up really by synergistic magic to relate to this sugya a little bit. The whole idea of Kinyan Chatzer acquiring on behalf of a beneficiary because of the das of the makna. And he talked about the question was, you can find this on Y.U. Torah sometime in the past week or so, about if somebody discovered that their tzitzis was stolen. So you listen to this? So the tzitzis was stolen, and he didn't know what to do about the fact that somebody randomly, apparently, actually stole his tzitzis, and there was no other explanation. So the question was, tzaddik of a guy who got his tzitzis stolen, he wanted to be concerned about the fact that the ganav was not going to get a mitzvah for this, he was going to get a mitzvah above Yavera. So the question is there a way that he can now, in his disadvantaged position, can he be mafker, can he be mocho, can he somehow allow this ganav to acquire the tzitzis so that he shouldn't have the issue of mitzvah habav yavera? And not the kind of thing you hear every day. So one of the factors he talked about was, could the ganav, now as a kinyan chatzar, potentially with the tzitzis that is now his reshus, but he doesn't have the right to it because he stole it. But if the victim decides he wants to be a magnet to the ganav, so can we assume that that completes the picture? And can we assume that we have there the das magna and the das kona, and the kinyan chatzar should work? So there's a parallel here to the way that the Mukhi Yosef wasn't assuming any aveira here, but the model that Mukhi Yosef has of the kinyan, that you have the kinyan chatzar acquiring. And if we can establish that there is both das makna and das kona, so can that allow the transaction to happen at that point when it's already in the hands of the recipient? So can that take place? So it's a little bit of synergy on this question, and I'm reciprocating to Rabbi Lewis by invoking it back. So here, this is the Mukhi Yosef's explanation that we've seen. So it's not really going to work in this case, right? Because you don't have the shared space. So given what we've seen, is there anything here to obligate Reuven, in this case now, to pay Shimon for what he did? What do you think?
Is this for the Sitzis case? Or
now we're back to the fence. We're back to the fence case. So what do you think? Any further? On the surface, I think from what we've seen so far, it seems hard to be mechayev him, right? Because midin kinyan, he doesn't seem to have anything. This what Shimon has done is not on his property, and midin nana, that hasn't happened yet because the fence is not complete. So yeah, you have a gilui das, but the gilui das needs something to work with, and we haven't yet seen that how that could be filled in. Yeah? Okay.
Well, could we say once I fill in the wall, I then chayev for nana post facto?
Yes, then we can, but that's not the case. The case is he's asking for it now. And that's specifically...
I can't charge you for future services?
Well, that's the thing. So it's also past. So I built this, and now I see that you're going to want it, but you're not benefiting from it yet. So do I have any grounds to charge him? So from what we've seen so far, it wouldn't seem like it. However, it's a curveball. It's Rabbi Akiva Eger. So he quotes here Rabbi Akiva Eger. And the language of the Rabbi Akiva Eger is that in explaining our Mishnah, that the Chayiv al Shem Sofo Shadaito Litain Olav HaTikra, that his obligation comes from what will ultimately happen. It's basically like the Bensor Mora kind of kingdom. That he is obligated because of the ultimate plan here, the Hana that will come from his intent to put a roof, going back to the case of our Mishnah, putting a roof on top of this wall. Which is to say, he fills an explanation here, that since his intent is to put a roof on in the future, so now having that possibility is a hana. It says, Nedna me'afsharus zeh. So he should pay right away for the possibility that has been provided to him by Reuven's wall. I just don't forget the original case of the Mishnah. It was where he built extra space on the Hezek Re'iyah wall, and Shimon's going to eventually want to put a roof on top of that. So having that possibility is the Hana that he could be charged for now. Yes, sir.
How is that different than being charging now for future Hana? As in, I can say now, I know when you close the wall, you're going to get X amount of Hana, I'm charging you now. It's not about the Efsharut anymore. It's your
so that that's the chiddush that we see, that having that possibility, having the stock option, right, having this idea that he can act on, and that we see that this is something that he's happy about. So that's the Kiveger's chiddush, which is something new that we haven't yet seen. And he goes on to add, and I'll fill in a little some of the explanation he has here, because there's some additional background for it, He says, so in our case, so since Reuven is definitely going to finish off the fence, so then he should be obligated to pay now, even before it's finished, because that counts as a hana from the fence. But we can't call this a kinyan chatzer in the language of the Nebuki Yosef, because Shimon had built it on the sidewalk that was next to the fence, and the fence itself is not in Reuven's property. So therefore, we don't have the kinyan chatzer aspect, but the hana aspect we do have with the Shubiki Vega. Just to fill in a little bit more of the background here. So, in the part downstairs where he fills in more, he quotes also the Nesivos. Right? We talked last week about Tiksos and his frequent sparring partner of the Nesivos, Rav Yaakov Lissa. So, the Nesivos, in explaining the Mishnah, our Mishnah on Daf Hey, his language is nira dekan mayri shenikir shirot la'asos binyan. So by building an extra wall that he can put a roof on, so that shows us that he wants to have a whole building there and to put a roof on the wall, on the shared wall. So therefore, im kem bevadei rotzo v'zakos b'chasi akosol m'shutov. So for sure, he wants to acquire the half of the wall that is shared. Shekol's man she'enu zocha bo she'yesh alo asu lismocha kosel chaveru. Because as long as it's not his, he's not going to be allowed to use it. Right, which is a svara that we found in the Rishonim on the Mishnah, the first Mishnah, which he's going to reference here. So we'll come back to that point. You recall that there was a view in Rishonim that even if, when we're talking about Hezekiah, if one party should say, listen, I want to build a dafka on my property, and we should both be happy with that, that the other party can say, I'm not happy with that because I want to be able to use the wall, not just to have it exist, but I want to be able to lean on it and to put things on it. So therefore, I'm not satisfied with you choosing to make the whole thing your project. So since that's the premise, so therefore, we can assume that if this guy is planning on using the wall, he's planning on acquiring it. So this is also from a Nebuki Yosef. And here, it's an earlier Nebuki Yosef. It's Nebuki Yosef on the first Mishnah, where he quotes the Ra'ah, that's what we were just referencing, where he writes that the difference between Makif Bika was Somech Koso, right, that the difference between somebody who gets surrounded in a Bika area, his language that even though in the Bika we say that if you surround it on all four sides, we make him participate. There, that the wall of a Bika is not made to lean against. It's just there as a division, as a wall. Bahare Gidro, and that's what he did. About Bakosa Chotzel Chaser, Yachahu Lomar, Ein Ritzoni, Ella Bakosel Sha'uchalus Mochalav. That in a normal Chaser, he might say, I want Dafka, a wall that I can use. So there's a difference between a Bika and the wall of a Chaser that our first Mishnah is talking about. So he goes on to add that here in our case, that since Shimon built on the sidewalk next to the garden, so we can't use the Kenyan Chatzar aspect to be Mechayefim, despite the fact that, yes, he has Gilei Das, but like we said, that's not enough, right? But yes, he has revealed that he's happy about it, that it's going to stop the cats from coming in, because we don't have ownership. So that part we don't have. However, what it sounds like from the same Nebuki Yosef is that you can still obligate me dinene, even though the fence is not on the field, when you don't need it for your personal usage, such as in our case. Here, we're not looking for acquiring the fence, we're looking for the hana aspect. But we still need active hana, that's the problem. That was the question that Rishonim asked. It hasn't happened yet. As the Ritva, we saw, right, the Ritva quoted the Rabbeinu Yonah, It's asking the question. If you're going to look at it from Nana, we don't have Nana. It hasn't happened yet. Now, here he references the Ramah that we also saw, 12, the Ramah in Kufnin Chesvav, where the Ramah discusses, let's say, Reuven had put two walls up, and Shimon was being surrounded, he puts up the third wall. But we don't have a fourth wall yet, right? Remember, we talked about this case last week. So what if you have a Gilui Das from Shimon, he puts up a wall on his own, but he has not yet completed the loop, so he's not benefiting. So what role does Gilui Das play before the Hana is actually happening? That's our situation here. So the Ramah said, Nira Shein Tzarech L'Shalim Lo Yiklum Ad Shiyig D'Recham Heim Ruach Adal. He said, doesn't have to pay anything until there should be the fourth wall finished off. So the Nesivis asked on this, he says, this seems to be different. This seems to be difficult, L'chara Kasha. Because why is this different from just adding on another wall? That here the Ramah is saying that Gilui Das is not enough. It sounds like that even if you're going to come and finish Havanah later, it's not going to do it for us unless the Havanah is happening now. However, Rashi, on that Mishnah, Rashi writes, Afal pishlo nosen ola v'dayin esatikra galidaita d'nichalei b'hagbah d'heich, right? Remember that language? That Rashi said that even though he hasn't put the roof on yet, we see that he's happy with the elevation. So over there, the Ramban asks on Rashi, but maybe he never will put the roof on it. Maybe he'll put the roof at a different point, where it won't actually touch this guy's wall. We saw this from Ban as well, so I didn't give you the sources new today. You've seen most of the sources. So you see that the Chiyuv is for Nana, even if the Nana hasn't happened yet. It sounds like from Rashi, like you could be Chayiv for a future Hana. And the Ramban's question was only, but maybe it won't happen. So it seems to emerge from that Rashi and that Ramban is what? What could you possibly derive from that? Let's say it again, right? That Rashi said that when Shimon put up this extra wall, so that shows that he's going to get Hana from Reuven's wall because he's going to put his roof on top of it. So the Ramban said, well, wait a minute. Maybe he won't put the roof on top of it. Maybe he'll put the roof to the side. So what emerges from that Ramban's question, Zach?
It's what Rabbi Akiva Iger ends up saying. He sort of ends up, like, I guess, threading the needle a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
As in, he's sort of saying, I am making you chayev for future anah, but because I'm really just charging you for the possibility of future anah, whether or not you actually end up utilizing that possibility doesn't really matter.
So I think half of that is that you're right that what it sounds like from Rashi is that the future anah could work. But what the Ramban's objection is, but how do you know it's even going to be used? So, but it sounds like if I knew it was going to be used, if I had greater confidence, what you wanted to say, Yaron?
Yeah, I was going to say that from the Ramban, you could, I guess, be medayik, that had you used it, though, you would be fine.
Oh, so that's where it seems to be the issue, right? That if there was a definite usage, then we'd be in better place. And we'd have more confidence that would actually count. So he adds here, he says, he thinks the reason, the explanation is that if he's going to definitely use it, so that should be called Nena Achshav. Mishum Shesofa Lehanos. It sounds like that the fact that he's going to definitely use it, maybe that does work. By the way, this gets into a little bit of a philosophical question. In general, this comes up in other areas of halacha. So a few minutes ago, we were noting how Nichole comes up in other areas of halacha. What about fast-forwarding? What about looking to the future and seeing if it counts or not? So, do we say that we fast-forward? It's both a philosophical and a halachic point. Right? We have a principle in halacha sometimes that we say that Kol HaOmed, essentially Kol HaOmed Le blank, Kilu blank dummy, that when something is destined to happen, we sometimes look at it as if it's already happened. So it's an important question to clarify, when do we apply that and when do we not apply that? So what factors do you think are relevant to establishing the rules for that? You know, it comes up in all kinds of areas of halacha, like plants that are going to be cut down. You say that we have a concept called ketute michta shire, that if something halachically has got to be destroyed, we look at it as if it's already destroyed. Yeah, so
from,
small.
Just from, I think, previous purchasers, is the halacha in getting with, like, just going into a pit, is that kol ha'omid, or is that different?
Going to pit, we talked
like,
about.
Like if a person went to a pit, we assume they're dead.
Well, that's afterwards, though, right? We don't necessarily assume they're dead now, but the point is that we can assume that if we didn't hear from somebody and we know that he went to a pit with scorpions, so then that's sufficient to establish that he's dead. But here we're talking about, it hasn't happened yet, we know, but when does the halach allow us to fast forward and to consider it as if it's already happened? So what do you think should be a key factor here? Yeah, Zach?
Well, it should just be a statistical analysis. If it's 51% possible, then, you know, it's more than, you know, it's more likely to occur than it is less likely to occur, so therefore it's as if it occurred.
That's a pretty generous standard. So would you say that 51% is...
Or, again, you could probably make an argument, absolute majority, you know, clear majority, all these other things, but...
It's interesting that you use a majority at all, though. Shmuel?
I think you might need, like, I would say certainty, but...
Yeah, I would think more
certainty.
Also. Yeah, I would think you probably need more than a majority, right? Probably need something that basically makes it definite. That's how the Chassam Sofer, for example, establishes in Shuvos about this, although you could really base this in earlier sources, that it would essentially have to be an inevitable process. We see this also, for example, the Gemara later on in Bava Kamma, right close to the sugyas we were looking at about. We got very close to those Gemaras, but a little bit later on about Zenon of Zolchasr and Bava Kamma. So the Gemara talks about something in the context of Nezikin, that if you throw something out a window, so then it's considered destroyed already. Because it's already a goner. Right? Once it's already heading towards the ground, so then it's basically an inevitable process.
You're 100% sure.
Right, so
somebody could come and just put a pillow on you.
Correct. So and that actually the Gemara talks about and Rishonim talk about. So it's actually, so something can be inevitable and still be changeable. Here's a philosophical challenge, right? Because you can still say that something is definite given the current fact set, but that if I change it, it sounds like it's a contradiction. Although you have this in various areas of halacha, like for example, you can have a suffix segregation. Or segregation by its very nature means it's definitely going to happen. How could it be a suffix? So it comes from different directions. So the Gemara and Bava Kamma discusses there that let's say you have something, I throw a vase out a window, so it's basically considered to be broken already. So if somebody comes with a baseball bat and swings the bat while it's falling and smashes it in the air, so he's putter. Because he broke a broken jar, a broken vase. But it was filled when it was shalim when he hit it. But it didn't broken. Because as soon as it was thrown out the window, it's already broken. That not much is from the Gemara. Right? So even though, let's say, if I come and I swing a baseball bat, and the vase is on the table, and I'm in the middle of completing my swing, and then you come and hit it from the other side. So you're chayiv, because I could stop my swing anywhere along the middle.
What if I'm dropping something onto the vase?
So then that might be a different story, except that the possibility of moving the vase out of the way is also an interesting question, how that fits in. So that's the whole sugya Bava Kamma, but essentially, inevitability becomes a factor. So There is actually a big, so I mentioned this is halachic, it's also philosophical. So before I said this was calling this al shem sophos, that's language we also know from Betzor Mora, as alluded to before. So Chazal tell us that the Betzor Mora is executed despite the fact that it doesn't seem like it's a proportionate response. It doesn't seem like what he has done so far is anything on that level that justifies him being executed. So Chazal say that Nidon al Shem Sofo, that he is judged based on what's ultimately going to happen, because he is ultimately going to be much worse. He's going to do things that are a much bigger deal that will justify this kind of treatment. So despite the fact that his actions so far haven't reached that level, Nidon al Shem, the same phrase, al Shem Sofo, is found there.
And so more never happens. So
that's a separate discussion. But the concept, just as far as what is the Torah getting at, is also machlokas in the Gemara. But assuming there's a concept, so what exactly is the idea there of al shem sofo? So it sounds like it's basically inevitable. So some raise the question that, coming from a perspective of punishment, so a different area of halacha, but the question of justice. So Chazal tell us the opposite in the context of Yishmael, that when Yishmael was in the desert and dying, so the Torah tells us that the prayers were answered. It was prayers of the mother, prayers of the child, whatever it was, the whole discussion itself. But because Basher Husham, where he was at that time, and Chazal explained that there was an objection to saving Yishmael's life, because ultimately he'd be very bad news for the Jews. But right now, he's innocent. So we only judge somebody based on where they're at that time. So, Basher Husham is a standard there. And in the context of Ben Sarah Mora, the standard is Al Shem Sofo. So it sounds like a stira. So some explain that it depends what we mean. That here, we're talking about a future. Let's assume that in both cases it's basically inevitable. Or the assumption is that essentially it's inevitable under the current fact set. But there's still a difference between the inevitability of the Ben Sarah Mora and the inevitability of Yishmael. Because in the case of Yishmael, it's a future that is known from Nevuah, that is known just based on extra supernatural awareness of what the future holds. So right now, he's innocent, even if the future is going to be different. But the Ben Sarah Mora, it's not that we look into a future with Nevuah or with a crystal ball, and we see what's going to happen, and right now he's totally innocent. He has already begun the process. And we understand that it's a path that will take him down this very harmful route. So we don't let it get that bad, and we take action now, based on how bad it's predicted to get. But we have two things there. We have inevitability, and also there is a process that has started. Those two things are key together. So here also, if we're going to look to a future Hana as a basis for a Chiyuv, so presumably we need two things. We need that it should be essentially a definite, and that's where the Ramban's objection is coming from, that I can handle the idea of a future Hana being on your bill now, but maybe it's not even going to happen. So he's asking on the definite aspect of it. But maybe also we need two things. We need there to be a definite Hana from the future, and something that has started the process. Something that has got us going in that direction. So here he also brings a proof from a Baal HaMor. This I haven't actually put on your list yet, so this we can take a look at tomorrow. It's a Baal HaMor on the previous Mishnah on Daled Amud Beis that writes regarding Makis Mitzad Echad Bechatzer Chayiv Hanikach L'Shalim Midin Nana, that if he surrounds from one side on the chatzer, so then the nikaf is obligated to pay from Nana, even from the perspective of Nana, right? In the case of the chatzer, so even if it's open to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, he's still obligated to participate. Mishum destam chatzer omed ligdor, because the basic default chatzer, the plan is to finish it off. V'nechshev nana mishum sofo ligdor. So because that is the ultimate plan, he's considered to be nana right now. V'zeh l'shono, and this is his language, ma she'en kein b'chatzer she'machayvin osol b'chol inyun livnos kosol b'amtza, that in the case of a chatzer, that we obligate him in all cases to build a kosol in the middle. V'yafal pi she'paris l'rishus harabim, even though it's open to the public. Stam chatzer atsuya hilitznius livnos l'akzolam y'abri chusam, that in the basic default chatzer, the notion is they ultimately want a private setting. They're going to build four walls. Mashein kein bebeka. A beka is a different story. Sheish hayar b'mnei adam she'ein makbid and listom b'knei b'shos rabim. By a beka, not everybody necessarily cares to fence it off. But by a chatzer, the default is yes. So what emerges from all of that? So what emerges is that according to Rashi, where the assumption is that the adjacent guy is going to definitely use this wall for his roof, and therefore it's called Nana now because of the future. So that seems to give us what to work with. But what about Rashi? What about the Ramban who raised the question that maybe he's not going to use this? And then the answer of the Ramban, if you recall, right, we wrote the Ramban right in response. He said, "Sarachu l'kosel shochavero." He still needs the wall now, because if Reuven would take away the wall, he's going to find that he's completely exposed, and his house is not surrounded at all. So it sounds like, according to the Ramban, at least, you need the Hanar right now. But what did Yaron say before? That you could be medayik in the Ramban, an exception. That if it's definite, so then that should allow the Hana to count for now. So basically, just to recap that last point, that in our Mishnah, Rashi said you make an extra wall, you're chayiv now, because you can use that for your roof. So it sounds like for Rashi, future Hana is enough. The Ramban raised the question, but maybe you won't use it. So it sounds like from the Ramban, like we said before, that that's the issue. The issue is that you possibly won't use it. And that forces the Ramban to bring in a present Tana. What's the present Tana? The fact that right now the wall is giving you protection. Otherwise you would be completely exposed. So yes, the Ramban is forced, because of his question, to give a different aspect of focus. But it leaves us open, the question itself leaves us open to say that if he didn't have that doubt about what would happen, if he knew for sure it was going to be used, so then maybe that Hanash should count. Okay, so far so good? Yeah, Max?
This might be a little off topic, but just to ask on the Ramban, mm-hmm. I understand that he's trying to get out a future benefit by trying to find a current benefit. But aren't we Bedavka talking about a wall that's above four amos? But like, how is he benefiting? He just happens to be benefiting from this specific wall.
Yeah, what you'd have to say is that he showed that he is interested in having more of a enclosure in here. So even though it's not yet done, but Lamaisa, that wall is now there as part of it, and if the wall wasn't there, he'd be exposed.
So the Gilei Das, according to him, is the fact that he just wants to protect against Hezekriya.
And this is a part of it.
Okay, and that's Hezekriya, presumably?
No, it would presumably be more than that, that he wants this as a part of what his room is going to have. And if this wall were to disappear, so he would be exposed there.
Okay.
And his plan would ultimately be lacking. So, but the truth is, even without that, what he's emphasizing really is just what emerges from the question. Right, like Aaron was saying before, that the question, wait a minute, that the Hana is not definite. So you could say, well, who cares if it's not definite? It's even worse than not definite. It's just not now at all. So it sounds like, from the question, that it's okay that it's not now, if it were definite. So that seems to fill in the puzzle, that when you have a definite hana in the future, so that's that we can handle. So this all leads us to the Rav Akiva Eiger, who says, so therefore Rav Akiva writes from his Svara that based on all these principles that we've seen so far, that Yechayev Alshem Sofo, because he plans on putting a roof. So that's also going to then bring in chaser. Because now, this Reuven, who built the original wall, is also going to have to deal with the additional pressure of the roof that Shimon's building on his wall. So Kiva Eger adds, that also makes it chaser. So right now, it's not chaser, but the fact that he's eventually going to have to share all of the engineering implications with Shimon, so now it also makes it chaser in the future. So right now it's neither nana or chaser, but ultimately it's going to be both. It's going to be nana in a chisaron way, and we can work off that now. So, says the Beis Reuven, with all that, says lefizav v'nidon didon, in our case, so despite the fact that Shimon built on outside property, on the sidewalk, Reuven should have to cooperate right now in the expenses of the fence that Shimon built already, even though you don't have a complete fence, because he has shown that he is interested in stopping the cats. And we know that ultimately he's going to look for a complete wall here. So therefore, he's nana on the future. Nana from the future base. And here he just adds a note here that he is also working off the Das of Tosfos, that in this situation, you might call the future Hana Zen Nana Vazelo Chaser. So here you don't have Rebbe Kibager's point that it will ultimately be Chaser also because the extra weight, because that's not relevant in this scenario. But here he throws in the view of Tosfos that Gili Das does work also for to be high. Okay, makes sense? Any objections? You agree with his conclusion? Okay, so basically, what do we see from this extra step in the discussion? So how did we just advance the whole story here? So we saw that until now, in order to be chayiv, we needed something more. Right? So nana was not enough, because the hana wasn't happening yet. And the, in fact, even in our Mishnah, nana wasn't enough, or at least some of the Rishonim, because the hana wasn't happening yet, and also zelo chaser. So what was able to adjust that? So either a kinyan in the wall, like the Muki Yosef brought into the picture, or Gili Das, but only some of the Rishonim accepted that, or some hana that was happening now. So what we've now added to this picture is this idea of Al-Shem Sofo. That Al-Shem Sofo theoretically could create a Hanoah now. But we need inevitability. And that's something that we've seen in other areas of Halacha as well, that there is this notion of Kol HaOmed, that sometimes we can fast forward and look towards a later reality as being relevant now. But it seems that we need inevitability. And inevitability, nothing is actually inevitable, but except death and taxes, but nothing else is actually inevitable, except we could have the somewhat of a stira formulation, which we find in Halacha, that it's inevitable if nothing changes, right? Which sounds like a direct logical contradiction, but it means given the current fact set, this is inevitable. So if given what we have right now, this is going to progress on its own to a definite conclusion. We can fast forward. And we added, looking from the Ben Sora Mora aspect, that's not something he discusses here, but also it could be a relevant factor, is that we maybe need two things. Not just inevitable, But it should be something that started, something that we can point to say it's inevitable and in process. It's not just that we have a crystal ball that can tell us this is going to happen later, but it's inevitable and the process has started. And by the way, if you want a little more hashkaf on this, so I've sometimes darshaned about this in Kol Nidre, that I think that's also pshat on the Rambam. There's a very difficult Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, that the Rambam says that in order to be considered a real Baal Tshuva, that your Tshuva is genuine, you have to reach the standard Ad Shiyoid Olav Yodea Talumas, that he who knows the hidden things, he who knows the secrets, meaning Ribbono Shel Olam should be able to testify about you that you're never going to go back to this Aver. So that seems like an impossible standard. I mean, you say that you do tshuva now, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Chachmaso knows that 50 years from now you're going to be challenged again and you're going to do the same Avera, so your tshuva doesn't count for now. Seems like an impossible standard. So I think what the Rambam means, it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who can see the future, can testify that you're never going to do this again. I don't think that's what the Rambam means when he says the Odeya Talumas, he knows the hidden things. It means that he knows what's hidden in you right now. So the question of tshuva is, have you done the tshuva deeply enough that you have uprooted whatever brought you to the Aveira in the first place? Otherwise, you're just going to fall right back into your patterns. So the Odeya Talumas is relevant here, not because of his perfect knowledge of the future, but his perfect knowledge of the present. Has there been an uprooting of the patterns that brought you habitually to this aver? So that's the same kind of idea, that we can blame you for the future if it's both inevitable and has started already. But if Kadosh Baruch Hu knows the future, so he knows it's going to happen, but it's not connected to anything going on right now, it's a whole different story. So that's maybe true philosophically. It's a different standard in terms of holding somebody responsible for an Aveira. It's not necessarily parallel. But maybe it is. Maybe we need both. We need inevitability and something that's already in process. So if we have both of those things, then maybe that's ability to be Mechayev. Okay, so far so good. Everybody with me? So just mention quickly here, we have a few minutes, there's another Shiloh that builds on this. Let's see if we could just try to squeeze one more in. So here again, Reuben and Shimon, they have a shared garden. And Shimon built, again, same kind of story. He built a wall for noi purposes originally on the sidewalk, and then the cats come. Okay, so same story all over again. And so now Reuben starts building with more simple planks, b'kroshim pshutim. So now Shimon says to Reuben, he wants him to pay for what he built. And he doesn't want to join in what Reuben built, because since he doesn't have windows that face the garden, but Reuven comes and says that he shouldn't have to pay on what Shimon built, except just the value of what he's building, because he's building simple planks. So let him pay for the value of simple planks. And we see that that's what he's doing, right? He himself is only using this simple material for his thing. So shouldn't that be enough? So what would you say about that? Has that changed things? Does it change things? So here he brings in that on our Mishnah it says that he has to pay for the wall even though he hasn't built the roof yet. So the Ramban writes that afilu samach bikinim mishalim al kosel hamishulav kamoshahu. So even if what he built, this extra wall, is weaker, he still pays for the shared wall based on what it is. Kidei shlo yipo, because maybe it'll fall otherwise, and he's going to have to constantly rebuild it. So he wants to explain here what the Ramban is saying, that regarding the shared wall, there's an umdana, Shakedailo, it's worth it for him, that it should be strong and it shouldn't collapse, and he should have to always rebuild it. And even though he has shown in his own construction that he's only happy with a very minimal kind of wall, but that only shows about his personal part, not the shared area, and not about the shared part. So the shared part, we have the right still to estimate his opinion, to evaluate his das, that he would want a strong wall, so he shouldn't need his friend to constantly rebuild it. So he wants to say here in this case, benidon didon, horo v'geder shabana shimon mishamis l'ruvein l'mnoa me'achasulim l'ikonis l'gina, since the wall that Shimon built is helping Ruvain by keeping the cats out, so therefore, it has the status of a joint wall. And therefore, he thinks that Reuven should have to pay based on its actual value of strong wood, because that way it's not going to fall and he's going to have to constantly rebuild it. So even though Reuven, in his own section, he used weaker material, however, that does not show us anything more than that section itself. But it doesn't tell us what he should have to pay as far as the shared space, the shared wall. But the part that Reuven built, that doesn't help Shimon, because Shimon's not afraid of the cats. He doesn't have any windows. So therefore, as far as Shimon is concerned, doesn't have a shared wall status, and therefore he shouldn't have to pay for it at all. So you see here he's bringing in this extra factor, just to recap the case. Right, so basically you have Reuven and Shimon, they both built walls. Shimon built a nice strong wall, and that wall keeps out the cats. And Reuven is happy to keep out the cats, or Reuven Katz was the author of the Sefer Degel Reuven. But here this is Reuven anti-cats. So it's not the Degel Reuven. So here, Reuven doesn't want cats, so he built a weak wall. So Shimon is saying that I want you to pay for half of my strong wall because you're benefiting, you're getting the cats out. And Reuven is saying, I want you to pay for the weak wall that I built because you're also getting the cats out. So Shimon can say, I don't care about the cats because I don't have windows. I just wanted a nice wall. So I don't have to pay for your wall because it doesn't do anything for me. But you, Reuven, you're benefiting from the wall because you don't want the cats. So you should pay me for half the wall. And what about your claim that you were happy on your portion to have a weak wall? So just, you only want to pay for a weak wall. So why don't I have to agree with that? So to that, Shimon will say, no, our strong wall is a shared wall. And the Ramban gives us this principle that when you have a shared wall, it's a different status than a personal wall. And that even if somebody shows with his personal walls that he's happy with weaker material, it doesn't mean that for a shared wall he would be happy with weaker material. Because a shared wall is a greater concern that it's going to collapse and the other guy's not going to rebuild it. And it's going to be constant misery. So the shared wall, if that was done more expensively, you're obligated to pay for that too. And you can't say, well, look at my personal walls. I use weaker material. That shows you that's what I'm happy with. Okay, so far so good. Everybody with me? Okay, so I guess we'll have to stop there, but a very fascinating application. It gave us a few extra principles here about what to factor into the whole Hana issue. Again, there's so many more. We won't be able to do too many. Our plan is to add a little bit more and also to bring this into another very modern practical issue that is affected by this. So stay tuned for that, and we'll see that tomorrow. And then after that, can continue to make sure you're up to above Midbeis, because by Wednesday, God willing, that's our agenda.
Where on above Midbeis should we get to?
By the end of it.
Yeah. Okay,
so now this is the opportunity for the last Al Hanisim of Hanukkah. The last.